Chapter 9. Gourley fidgeted inside his armor. He was of no use to Nath now. Selene had him. His effort to stay close had been blocked. They'd been gone for hours and darkness had come.
"Get back with the rest of the troops,"
one of the Drakus commanders hissed. He had great black wings on his back and he was very tall and ominous inside his patchwork of metal armor.
"We'll watch the pass.
I don't recall the High Priestess removing my authority. I'm to watch after the Dragon Prince so far as I can."
"There's nothing to watch now,"
the Drakus said, looking down the path Nath and Selene had taken.
"But soon I'm certain there will be a funeral."
"Until I see a body, I'm just fine where I am."
The Drakus grabbed Gourley's horse by the harness and jerked its neck. The horse nickered.
"Ride your beast away,"
it said.
"This army is under the watch of the Drakus now, not men."
Gourley looked into its face of scales and beady eyes and said through his teeth,
"Let go. Move along, human,"
the Drakus said, releasing the harness and walking away.
Move along. There are four of us and just one of you, and any one of us can tear you in two."
Gourley didn't doubt he meant it. Very few mortals could handle Drakus. But he wasn't mortal. He clenched the reins of his horse and nudged it away.
"Enjoy your sleep, human, while we who need no sleep watch over things."
It said, following with a hiss. Gourley moved deeper into the ranks where the army made camp. There was little reason to begin a scuffle with the Drakus. After all, they were Selene's most trusted. Them and a handful of acolytes. He'd been clever enough to fool her. He had fooled them all, taking on the identity of Jason Hahn. Selene and the Drakus didn't pay much attention to the men in the ranks. She'd grouped the different races of followers among themselves. In the ranks were goblins, orcs, gnolls, and men as hard as you'd ever meet. Fat, big, ugly, or rangy. They fought for greed, gold, a twisted form of glory. Now he sat among them, listening to their coarse talk. Their usual tone, one of ruthless mirth, was now replaced by a dull sort of melancholy. It seemed that the Drakus weren't the only ones pushing them around. So were the other races, not to forget the lizard men.
"Yeah, they're showing their colors,"
one man said. His scarred face was shadowed in the fire.
"Pushing us around. The orcs have been hoarding our rations. The goblins slide away with our steel,"
said another man, whose beard hung to his knees.
"I caught one with a quiver of my arrows and throttled him."
He looked up at Gourley.
"Commander Hahn, may I ask what in Narnum is going on?"
Gourley didn't have the answer to that. The truth was he'd been more concerned about Nath. But he was aware that some of the captains, the human ones, had been kept out of some of the meetings. It happened from time to time, but of late it had been more frequent.
"Don't fret. I'll speak with the acolyte chiefs at first light."
The bearded man spit a wad of tobacco on the ground and looked into the sky, shaking his head.
"Something is not right about this,"
he muttered. All the others continued to mumble and grumble and complain among themselves. Gourley didn't entirely understand it all, but he'd been around the races long enough to know that humans weren't born with as much wickedness as the other kinds. They just had an unpredictable flair about things. He started away toward the edge of the human camp and took a walk. The entire time he was listening to the other races. After all, he understood all their languages. Languages were second nature to him. He didn't hear much, however. The boisterous orcs were quiet. The gnolls gnawed on bones. The goblins stitched up their crude armor and painted themselves with bright, ghastly images. And the lizard men, who talked little at the best of times, now hardly breathed a hiss. Gorley kept walking, keeping his distance, but he could feel their eyes on him. The night air with its dripping rain contributed to an already very heavy tension.
"Something is wrong,"
he thought.
"Very, very wrong."
He wondered if he'd been discovered. Perhaps Celine had known his identity all along. Maybe the feline fury had tipped her off after all. The dragon cat was as cunning and quick as any dragon. He tried to shake the feeling, rubbed his hands together. He felt chilled.
"Perhaps it's time to change. Surely I can make off through the woods as something undetectable. Nath Dragon needs my help."
A commotion caught his ear. A small group of goblins barreled their way into the human camp, carrying torches and making a fuss. In an instant, a crowd of angry men gathered around the goblins, shouting. Gorley pressed his way into the throng.
"What's going on?"
he yelled.
"Get out of my way, man!"
The surge of bodies didn't part. Instead, the knot of men tightened and their voices became angrier. Standing taller than all of them, Gorley could see the goblins standing in the middle of the fray, screaming and waving their torches back and forth. They yelled in goblin. Gorley's blood froze as he recognized the words they said.
"Kill them, dragons! Kill them all!"
Suddenly, a large ring of dark shadows dropped from the sky, surrounding the human camp. The dragons, bigger than horses, spread their wings, corralling the dumbfounded men. Gorley heard a sharp draw of air fill the dragon's lungs. The dragon's eyes glowed with light, and he screamed,
"Get down! Get down!"
Bright red-orange flashes roared from their mouths, setting fire to everything, to everyone, including himself.
"No! Stop! What are you doing?"
The sound of agony, the intense heat, the horrid scramble of bodies overwhelmed him.